awesome class. So we do have some great classes coming up. Make sure you participate in Rewind, our leadership classes, the marriage classes. All these things will really, really bless you and be a part of your journey in faith. I'm excited about, you know, part of my responsibility is with Church in Iraq International, and that's kind of an apostolic government or covering for lots of churches around the world. In a few weeks, I'll be, for example, in Florida at the 30th year anniversary of a pastor friend of mine. Their church is turning 30, those kinds of events. And responsibility is just a great thing. So one of the things that we're really excited about that's happening last year at the beginning was an outreach in northern Arizona, just beyond Flagstaff, on the Navajo Nation, that last year over 5,000 Native Americans came to in two large tents. And we, CFTN and Church in Iraq International, both participated in that event. And it's going to happen this next weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, up there this week. It's going to be phenomenal. Something is brewing in Arizona on the reservations with the Native people. And the importance of that, I don't think, has really descended into the culture of the rest of the church. But God is working some amazing things, some breakthroughs that have never happened are happening. And they're very, very exciting. So I want you to watch. We have a little video here about this event that Pastor Daniel is really engaged in CFT and Flagstaff. Pastor Ray, overseer, my director for Church in Iraq International. I want you to see, get excited with me about what God's doing right here in Arizona.
First Nations people have been given a message, have awakened to righteousness.
A new thing is coming. A new wave is coming.
In the midst of diversity, there will be unity. In the midst of suffering, there will be healing. There will be restoration.
The sleeping giant is no longer asleep. It is moving. It is moving. And I challenge every tribe, rise.
We're going to lead because we're ordained to lead this last great awakening.
Hebrew people, the Jewish people, were put on reservations. And today, the American Indians are still on reservations. And I believe what we've seen in the book of Exodus is going to take place right before our eyes here in America.
I believe that the Native American people are the key to a tremendous move of God, a revival that's getting ready to sweep the earth.
It is Kairos time for us, and I'm seizing that moment. I'm seizing this time.
We feel a sense of urgency to partner with kingdom shakers up on the reservation, with people who are not willing to settle with what history said, but are willing to really pursue what destiny says.
Oh, God is going to use us, and there is going to be a change, and it's going to start from us.
God is getting ready to do something very powerful in America. God's getting ready to move, a powerful, powerful move like we have never, ever seen before. Never.
And we need the input from the Native Americans. They have the spiritual authority to break the darkness of witchcraft, the control over America.
More than we can ever think or imagine what God wants to do.
Korean and Chinese Christians are now connecting with Native America.
For God has spoken, I have now turned my face to the host people of the land, for blood cries from the ground. Now is our time, people. Now is our time.
Get ready.
I'm so excited. That's happening right here in Arizona. And three massive tents. And that's this coming week, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So please remember to pray. Let's pray for them right now. Let's pray for our state. Let's pray for what God... Listen, it's one thing for us to say this about the Native people. It's another thing for them to say it. The power is they're hearing it, saying it, and declaring it. Man, oh man, we are awake. What a great prophetic statement. So, Lord, we pray for our dear brothers and sisters, our Native American friends, God, in this state that hosts so many, hundreds of thousands of Americans, First Americans. We bless them. We bless the Navajo, the Hopi, all the tribes in the state. We pray, God, for a supernatural visitation this Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday in this gathering, God. You're doing something. You're up to something. And we feel it, God. And we thank you for it. We want you to do everything that you have in your heart to do in this season. Thank you, God, for allowing us to be a part of it, to participate in it as CF10 and Church in the Rock and as believers in Christ. And God, we believe that something wonderful has been already begun. We ask you to keep doing it, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have more engagement in this. So we have the tents that we've kind of helped them get. We can use all winter or for a large part of the year for other events too. We're talking about large youth events up there and some other things. So thank you for your prayers and standing. And this morning is our missions week, last week of the month. And we're going to use our missions week to support, as Pastor Ray, Pastor Daniel, people from our ministry will be engaged in this conference. We want to also give them a check and be a blessing to them as a church and say, we are with you. We are fighting for you. We are standing with you. And we believe in what God's doing. So that's what we're going to do today. And if you want to be a part of that, would you please prepare a missions offering as we sow it to the fertile field of the nations that are in our own state. Amazing. Nations that are here and what God's doing in them. Go ahead, ushers, and receive the gifts of God's people. And just remember to keep them in your prayers. And can hardly wait to see all that God has and all that God's going to do in this next season on the, like he said, on the reservation. God is redeeming. God is moving. God is doing a powerful thing. If you have your notes after you've given, you can open them up with me, please. The subtitle of my message today is The Birthing Season. And let me begin by reading this to you and repeating it, something I wrote yesterday. God will produce a heavenly purpose out of our earthly pain. Don't misinterpret the season you're in right now. The great labor and struggle you've been in, which has been filled with discouraging events that have you feeling drained or even exhausted, are not a sign of God's disapproval or disinterest in your life. Instead, all of these signs are prophetic confirmations that you're in the birthing season. Don't quit now. You're about to give birth to a miracle breakthrough. Tell your neighbor right now, you're about to give birth. Tell them that. So we'll be reading from the book of Isaiah. Three passages will be in our main text. Isaiah chapter 26. This prophetic book, this transition book, has so much life for us. Christ used it in his first message when he quoted from Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord God's upon me. And this is an exciting revelation for us. In that day, verse 1 of chapter 26 of Isaiah, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God will appoint salvation for walls and bulwarks. God, thank you for salvation. Thank you for saving me. Thank you, God, that by the grace of Jesus, you have made us your beloved church, your children, your body, your people. Today, as we sang the songs of praise, because of the grace we've received, it made God happy. It filled the earth with his kingdom. It released and changed the atmosphere. Open the gates that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in. You will keep him, O God, in perfect peace. Peace, peace is the idea twice stated. Shalom, shalom. Whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For in Yahweh, the Lord is everlasting strength. Those beginning with this great exhortation and expression of praise. And then it moves down to the current realities of the expression of broken people in the midst of their brokenness. Lord, in trouble have they visited you. They poured out a prayer when your chastening was upon them. Verse 17, as a woman with child is in pain and cries out in her pangs, when she draws near the time of her delivery, so we have been in your sight, O Lord. We have been with child, we have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind or nothing. We have not accomplished any deliverance in the earth, nor have we, the inhabitants of the world, nor have the inhabitants of the world fallen. So this is the embittered expression of a disillusioned and discouraged life that says nothing's happening. And all the pain has no purpose in our journey. But I'm here to tell you that God's got a purpose. And God has an assignment for the stuff you've been going through. And if you've been in labor pains with great pressure or difficulty, with unusual adversity, with people acting crazy, with long-term circumstances that have been disappointing. If you've been going through something, it's not to no avail. There is an outcome. The expression of that agony, it's continued. That thought is also expressed later on in the book of Isaiah through the prayer of Hezekiah, chapter 37 of Isaiah. So it was when King Hezekiah heard it. He tore his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, went to the house of the Lord. When he heard what? When he heard that the Syrians, Sennacherib, had come against him with a massive army that could not be defeated by natural means. And then he had hired a man named Rabshakeh, and Rabshakeh spoke Hebrew. When the devil's really after you, he'll find someone that speaks churchese to you. But instead of encouraging, we'll try to discourage you. And so Rabshakeh came speaking Hebrew, saying, don't trust in your God. Don't trust in your king. We've conquered every nation that we've been through, and we'll conquer Israel too. And Hezekiah went to the house of God to pray. Now, please get this. He is a good guy. So in the Bible, there's the listing of godly kings, of not godly kings. And Hezekiah is one of the good guys. And even though he was a good guy, he went through a bad thing. So difficulty and adversity are never a sign of God's disapproval on a person's life. We live in a fallen world. In fact, often the most favored and anointed and called people endure the hardest difficulties, the hardest adversities, because the devil is trying to stop the potential of their life being from being fulfilled. Hezekiah endures this storm of overwhelming adversity and calls out to God. And here's how Hezekiah prayed, verse 3. Thus says Hezekiah, this is a day of trouble, rebuke, and blasphemy. Wow. The blasphemy was from the enemy. The trouble was from the threat of devastation. The rebuke was that they were challenging their faith, challenging who they were as a people. Everything that they stood for, everything that God had done was being shaken and challenged. And here's how he caged this frustration. For children have come to the birth, but there is no strength to bring them forth. He said, we're almost at a point of growing into a strong nation. Remember the chapter 26 began, we're a strong city. They were growing, they were developing, and if they just would have had a little more time, they would have grown to the place where they could have withstood naturally, militarily, the Syrians. But now they were vulnerable. and they were almost at a breakthrough point. And just before the breakthrough came, this unusually intense adversity rose up. And Hezekiah said, it's not fair. We're almost there. Why should these things happen now? And he's representing the frustration of someone who doesn't see a way out. But God shows up and said, just like my beautiful wife, I got this, baby. I got this. He said, it may be that the Lord will hear the blasphemies of Rabshakeh and Sennacherib. Maybe the Lord will hear. Look at me for a minute. God, don't get in trouble. It's amazing that in our culture, there used to be kind of a normalcy of respect for God or for religious people or Christian people, and much of that is deteriorated. But just know this, you can't pick a fight with God and win. So the prophetic word was, verse 6, thus says the Lord God, do not be afraid of the words which you have heard. Most of the destruction the enemy unleashes against our life begins with the sentence, begins with words. And our response to those words determines the consequence of our life. And the word of the Lord was, don't listen to that liar. The devil's a liar. God showed up with Adam and said, who told you you were naked? That serpent around there. Who told you God wouldn't forgive you? Who told you God couldn't heal you? Who told you your family couldn't be saved? Who told you your business couldn't be blessed? Who told you your ministry couldn't break through? Come on, who told you America couldn't be redeemed and restored and have a great awakening? Who told you that God can't bless the native? Who told you those things? Don't believe those words. God said, I got something to say. Never let the devil have the last word. God says, I'm just going to breathe out a rumor. I'm going to defeat him. God said, I'm just going to whisper something. This is so easy for me. And that king who's so boastful and proud and arrogant, he's going to die by his own children. That happened. Chapter 66, Isaiah. Hear the word of the Lord, you that tremble at his word. Your brethren who hated you, who cast you out for my namesake, said, let the Lord be glorified that we may see your joy. But they shall be ashamed. Now, there's something so... When people do wrong things in the name of God, there is such an intricate contradiction. If you've ever been hurt in a church and hurt in a place that should have been a safe place, it's like going to the hospital and getting sick. You know, with me, it's like a father that hurts his children instead of helps them. So whenever there's a contradiction of something that shouldn't happen, it creates a deep deposit of trauma. But God says, I'm going to take that out of you. Those people that misspoke. I want to be the church. Listen, God's using me around the world to represent healthy and loving prophetic ministry. And in so many quarters that I go to, they've never seen one. That almost every encounter they've had with anybody with a gift has been hurtful because that person allowed their own agendas, their own opinions, their own angst to come into the prophecy. And they may have said some things from God, but a bunch of things came from their own opinions or theology or philosophy. And it was hurtful. God doesn't hurt people when he's trying to heal them. Okay. The sound of noise from the city, a voice from the temple. The voice of the Lord who fully repays his enemies. Like I said before, God doesn't get in trouble. Just keep talking, devil. Before she was in labor, she gave birth. This is such a great prophecy of the restoration of Israel as a nation, but also for the restoration of the last day church. Before her pain came, she delivered a male child. So God said, I'm going to accelerate things, and they're going to happen before Here's how he said it a couple chapters earlier. Before you say amen, I'm going to answer the prayer. While you're yet speaking, I will answer. Who hath heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day? Shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her children. Now, there's so much significance here. Let's say that 1948, the restoration of the nation of Israel, was one of the most seminal, important prophetic acts in all of history. But I will tell you this, the restoration of the glory of God in the last day church will have the same kind of birthing breakthrough. And you're a part of a generation that's giving birth to something in the kingdom. The earth has never, who has seen such a, the earth's never seen what God's about to do through you, through us, through the body of Christ. There's a move of grace. There's a move of the Spirit. There's an outpouring. The last two times I've flown home, in fact, this week, both times that I flew home in a storm. I'm taking pictures out my window. Oh, awesome. And I just want to say, things you've never seen are going to happen. There are people here like Dr. Ivrona, Dr. McCray, Mrs. McCray. There are people here that have contended for decades for something. It's in them. They say, it's good what God's doing now, but I feel something else. Something greater. Something greater is going to happen. There are people saying, God's done with America. God visited me sovereignly 13 years ago and showed me America would have its third great awakening. And it would be the greatest move of God in our history. During my lifetime. Before she did it. Shall a nation be born at once? As soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her children. Now here's what God says. God now is directly addressing Hezekiah, going all the way back to the prayer of a discouraged people. Amen. Never make an important decision when you're discouraged. Amen. And try not to say anything either. Just turn on ESPN and or whatever. I can't even watch that anymore. Okay. Verse 9. Shall I bring to the time of birth? The Lord gave me a prophetic word in Atlanta, Georgia, sitting in the airport. I had a few hours to kill. And he said, I want you to change your sermon for Sunday and call it the birthing season. He said, because people have been going through hell and high water. They've been going through pressure, all these things. And they don't see an outcome. But tell them they're in labor. They're in the labor position. They're in the birthing position. They've been praying for years, standing, contending, believing. The devil has been pressuring. They've been tempted to quit. They wanted to, the discouragement tried to wilt them, but they're right here. And God has a word for them. Tell them not to quit now. They're about to give birth to something. They're about to release something. Here's what God says. Shall I bring to the time of birth and then not cause delivery? No more stolen harvests. No more unfulfilled breakthroughs. Shall I, the Lord says, who caused delivery, shut up the womb? God says, ain't gonna happen. So you have to get this. God says, often people misread a season because of the anguish it brings them. So the woman in labor, my wife had four kids, and she's very gentle, sweet, and kind, but every time, you know, if something physically happens to me, she'll say to me, you could never have a baby. Here, take an aspirin. Okay? She's true, okay, so God gives women a high tolerance for pain. So if you're, I remember when our son, specifically when Matthew was born in Santa Ana Hospital. And so there was that night, like 50 babies being born. And it was like a hallway of horror. Because I'm walking out, I'm pacing the hallway and everyone's screaming. I'm like, oh God. Screams from that room, screams from this room, screams. It's a whole, I mean, nurses are running back and forth, and it's like 11 or 12 at night. And I'm thinking, oh God, such a scary place. Oh God, Yeah, and some, you know, my wife was never a screamer. She was just a squeezer. She would take my hand and break several bones. I say, oh, I can tell you're experiencing pain now, honey, because so am I right now. I think you've dislocated my pinky. And so what would it be like for all those screaming women to be told nothing's happening? Okay, four quick points. First point, in the heart and eyes of God, your breakthrough is already done. So God sees you past the labor of an intense moment of affliction or contradiction. God sees the outcome and he says, come on, just keep walking. There's an outcome here. For the joy set before him, Christ endured the cross, despised the shame, because he saw the outcome. When we take our eyes off the outcome, we stop enduring the process or the pain. When people forget why they're standing, they stop standing. Don't stop believing God now. It's already done. God, who doesn't live in the limitations of time, space, or matter, who sits in the seat of eternity, the Bible says he calls the end of a thing from the beginning. It says, maiden, you're going to make it. How do you know? I'm already there. I'm in your tomorrow. I can't even comprehend that. My mind, my finite mind, cannot comprehend a God who is already in tomorrow. He says, everything you need tomorrow, I know what you're going to need. I've already appointed grace there. So as your days go, so shall your strength be. Don't sweat it. Don't worry about anything, because I've secured your future. See, the Bible is written especially for us to encourage us. The Last Day Church says, why are you guys worrying? I'm going to do my best thing and the last thing. I want to pour my spirit upon all flesh. The glory of the latter house will exceed the former house. He saves the best for last. So God encouraged. Second point, it is a lie of the enemy that tells us that nothing is going to happen in our life. So there's a law in physics. There is becoming such a deep and really penetrating perceptive understanding, quantum physics and other things. And here's part of it. If I say something now, it doesn't end with my sentence. Goes, lives for eternity, goes across the universe. And if I do this here, it affects the weather patterns in Brazil. That for every single action, there is a far-reaching consequence. We call it the butterfly effect. That there is this great, massive, that everything we do, and God says, don't ever think you're doing nothing without consequence. We're not praying just because God wants us to pray and he's not interested in answering prayer. We're praying because God can't wait to answer prayer. There's a consequence for prayer. Come on, we stand by faith to fulfill destiny, to fulfill the promise of God, to see our family saved, our business blessed, our destiny fulfilled. We stand by faith because God is a faith-honoring God. There's consequence. So Israel said, we came to the birth, but we birthed nothing. God says, that's a lie. That's a lie. Your life is making a difference. Thank you, sister. Me and you against them. Your faith, your prayers, the way you worship, the way you stand, the way you love, the way you obey, everything you do for Jesus changes the world. Hebrews chapter 6, God is not unjust. Say those words with me. God is not unjust. Then it goes on to describe how injustice would look. To forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name, in that you've ministered to the saints and continue to do so. I would desire that all of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. Teleos, the end means the completion of something you've intended or set out for. Don't become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Message Bible, God doesn't miss a thing. God keeps track. Come on, God keeps track. Come on, God, the devil's not winning. There are too many people praying, too many people obeying. You're on the winning team. And in your life, listen, some of you have back pay due you. It took them 400 years. God said, I'm going to pay you back 400 years of slavery. I'm going to give you 400 years of back wages. Go take everything that they have. They won't resist you. God can snap his fingers and give you everything back you've ever lost plus more. Okay, third point. You know you're in the birthing season. Tell your neighbor next to you, I'm pregnant too. Come on, man, don't be afraid of it. You don't have to turn in your mail card. You know you're in the birthing season when these things, you'll feel weary to the point of exhaustion, you feel deeply discouraged and completely drained, or you feel like giving up, or you feel like the enemy has unleashed criticism, mockery, and condemnation. You know you're in the birth season when all hell breaks loose. You with me? Because when I was walking that hallway in Santa Ana when my son was born, they weren't ordering cappuccinos. Hi, I'd like a cappuccino. They were screaming, I hate you, husband. God help me. You with me? Screams I'd never heard, traumatizing me to this day. You know you're in the birth position when so much is happening all at once and you're thinking, I can't take much more of this. And the doctor says, you don't have to. If you push once or twice more, you're going to birth it. Don't give up now. You're on the verge of your breakthrough. You're on the verge of birthing the fulfillment of your destiny. Last point, point number four. I have a word from God for you. God gave it to me in Atlanta, Georgia. So I was praying about this day. He said, tell my people they're about to give birth. So I declare over your life, you're about to see a breakthrough season, which is the direct culmination of your prayer, your faith in God, of God's faithfulness to you. You're about to see miracles, Iverna, in your family. You're about to see miracles, Dr. McCray. Sister Bonnie, I heard a great miracle, like a truck full of blessings. Resources are suddenly going to be deposited to you. All things are going to happen. Get ready, people. God's, he that has begun a good work in you will also complete it. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. God, the Alpha, the Omega, the first, the last, the beginning, the end. He's got it under control. Don't grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you don't faint. This is your season. This is your time. This is your breakthrough moment. You're birthing it. You've been praising God. Some of you have been praising God with a broken heart and going through heavy trials, but your prayers have been and your worship has been a birthing season, and something's about to happen because of your faith in God. Someone give God a shout of praise. Come on. Thank you, God. I rebuke every lie that's been told to you. Keep standing, please. Prayer team, join me at the altar. I rebuke every lie that's been thrown against you to discourage you, condemn you, to assault you, to weary you. And I declare over you the word of the Lord that God's not done, and he that has begun is going to finish it. God, thank you for this remarkable season. Listen, you have a remarkable character. You've been through all kinds of things, but here you are in August, Labor Day weekend, worshiping Jesus, even though all kinds of chaos is happening around you and you wonder what's happening. I'll tell you what's happening. You're about to give birth. I'll tell you what's happening in your family. They're about to give birth. I tell you what's happening in your business. You're about to give birth. What's happening in your ministry? You're about to give birth. What's happening in your body? You're about to birth a miracle healing. So the things you've been through aren't an indication of the opposite thing, of God's disinterest or God's disapproval. They're a sign of the fulfillment of everything God has for you. Come on, lift your hands, Devin, everybody. I feel like the Lord says today, He is stopping the momentum of discouragement from causing you to disengage with your heavenly assignment. He's stopping it in the tracks today. And He says, I got this. We're going to do this. You just hold on with me and watch what happens next. And so I want to pray for you, Bill. Here's what I want to pray. If you say, Pastor, I've been going through an exaggerated, intense season of discouragement. And man, I received this word. If that's you, run down the altar, because we're going to pray for you in the prayer of faith, standing and claiming this is your breakthrough day. You're giving the devil the black eye. Come on, some of you barely made it here. You crawled and drove and fought, and I'm getting to church. God's going to meet you in this moment. He's going to touch you, help you, encourage you. He's going to challenge you. He's going to recharge your batteries. Pastoral staff, help me pray for those that come down also. Come on, everybody raise your hands to heaven. Have an awesome week. Stay if you want to. God bless you. Come on, worship the Lord if you're staying.